a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's top local story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
And just like that, he's back. We got Utah County Attorney David Levitt back on the line. We're talking about the about face in Utah County that has me wanting to go in depth this morning. We started a conversation with County Attorney David Levitt about what happened. What happened? Why did the county government accuse two companies in Utah County of forcing employees to come to work sick with COVID-19? And then all of a sudden did an about face on us yesterday. County Attorney David Levitt coming out saying, you know what, that didn't happen. They didn't force their employees. Connor Boyack guest hosting today for Dave Noriega. We got County Attorney David Levitt back on the line, and I know that's great because you've got lots of questions for him too.
Hey, yeah, this is such an interesting tension, I think, right? So, Mr. Levitt, one question for you that I have is the media is very eager to have transparency on this issue. Let's get those business names. Let's force this into the public. On the other side, I think there's a due process argument. So I'd like to ask your comment on this, what you said from the press conference. You said, I'm pretty glad we didn't name the businesses, frankly, because the businesses did not engage in that conduct. So what type of due process should be involved when the government is accusing, you know, business owners of violating these health regulations?
Well, there certainly needs to be significant due process if it's in a normal channel of time when you're dealing with normal times. Because the COVID-19 pandemic is such an unprecedented time, and because the virus is invisible, and because the virus spreads so rapidly, you have to make a judgment call as to whether you're going to warn the public on the one hand or not warn the public and engage in the due process before you warn the public. And the health department made the best choice they could with the information they had, and that is they had someone who said that this has occurred. It's shocking if it occurred. And so because of that, and because of the circumstances in which we were in, they communicated that to the county commission. The county commission at that point has the same decision to weigh. Do we warn the public and then find out later, or do we say we're not going to tell anybody, and then if it turns out to be true, then we'll tell them and risk so many more exposures to COVID. The health department acted responsibly in telling the county commission. Frankly, it would have been nice if the county commission had said these are unfounded allegations, but we want to put these out there for people to understand that this is a risk. But, you know, I think we need to cut some very well-meaning people some slack in the sense that we're all uptight about this. And so they advanced the information as if it had been fully substantiated.
That's, I think, County Attorney David Levitt joining us live on the line. That's, I think, my heartburn is I read that memo several times, and it was actually a two-page letter to the community, and there really wasn't any reference to this idea that this just might be something that is being looked into. It was very emphatic that these two companies had done this.
Right. And I don't think that there's any way to say that, that was an interception that they wish they could, that people wish they could get back. I mean, it'd be much easier to say in the memo, hey, listen, these are unsubstantiated allegations. But let's be careful while we look into these. Clearly, that would have been the better move. But
now, One question I have, though, is as the county attorney, you know, you're the chief prosecutor in the county. You mentioned that this arose from these contact tracers. I have a lot of friends who are very concerned about these, like, quasi-Orwellian, Big Brother type of people going out and asking all these health questions. And whether those fears are substantiated or not, my question for you is, should a violation of a health department order lead to criminal enforcement? Is it right to be going after these businesses, or is this something that we should just be informing the public about so that they can weigh the risk themselves and make the choices that they prefer?
Well, for me, this is, you know, this is not an academic argument for me. This is not, because I am the chief elected prosecutor in Utah County. That decision is something that I have had to make, and the decision that I have had to make is that, you know, as a general rule, I'm not going to go out and prosecute a violation of a health code or a health order such as this, unless there's some shocking reason to do so. But it bears noting that what my office considered looking at was not a violation of the health code, but was a violation of the Utah State Code of reckless endangerment. When you say, when someone, you know, recklessly puts someone at risk of serious bodily injury or death, that's not a violation of the health code. And so, you know, you've also got to understand, or it's important to understand, that I learned about this not through official means as a county attorney. I learned about this through the mass media myself. I believe on KSL, reading about it, and that's what prompted me to ask my investigator to contact the health department and look into whether there should be some enforcement mechanism, and it's through that process that we learned that the allegation that had been made to the health department, in fact, wasn't substantiated.
County Attorney David Levitt for Utah County on the line with us right now. And in fact, Mr. Levitt, I also sent an email to your office asking for the names of these companies at the time, because I believed in the moment when I was getting all of this information from government officials in Utah County that the media and the public have the right to know. But what I still think we would like to know, I guess it could be a question of whether we have the right to know or not, but I would like to know how in the world 68 people who worked in these two places still got COVID-19 if you're saying now these businesses did not force people with COVID-19 to work. So what happened inside those businesses then?
Well, let's be clear. I'm a lawyer, not a doctor. And so what I say right here, you know, is worth about that. But, you know, As a person who has had COVID myself, it took me almost 10 days of having COVID before anyone would test me. I called my local doctor, I called the hotlines, I called everyone I could to try to be tested, and no one would test me because there were so few tests at the time. And so the concept of someone not knowing that they have COVID, showing up to work and exposing a lot of people—that's the very point of the quarantine, of this quarantine. And if someone doesn't know that they have COVID, then you know they're going to expose a lot of people unknowingly. And so my best guess there: why are there 68 people that got infected between these two businesses? Well, likely because people that had COVID, that didn't know they had COVID, went to work and infected a lot of people. But that's not the fault of the business. That's just people having a sickness that they didn't know they had.
We've been talking to Utah County Attorney David Levitt about a recent press conference and the idea about having some transparency, learning who's getting infected with COVID-19 in these businesses. Mr. Levitt, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. If I've got just a moment, I'd like to be able to just simply say, you know, this really ought to increase people's confidence in government, not diminish it. Because, you know, when the government makes a mistake, our obligation is to come out and say, this is what is. And we've done so in a way It wasn't motivated by pressure from the press, or it was just simply motivated by a desire to simply set the record straight.
County Attorney David Levitt, thank you for jumping on the line, and we're very glad that you have seemingly recovered from COVID. I hope you're feeling a lot better these days, and glad that you were able to hold the press conference yesterday, set the record straight. Connor, do you buy into this idea that this should, I mean, his take is this should give us more reason to appreciate government and the work that they're doing?
I think it's very important to be cautious in an environment where people are on edge. If a business were to be named falsely as, forcing employees to work, that could basically destroy that business on an unfounded allegation. So while there's this natural desire to want to know and to force that information into the public, I do appreciate when there is a bit of due process and we're making sure that these, you know, contact tracer allegations are first being investigated and substantiated before we force this into the public and kind of ruin someone's career. So I think it is appropriate to have the caution that's been
asked. So let me flip this around on you. In about the minute we have left, I asked you before the show, since you're a lobbyist on Capitol Hill, do a little digging on the law for me. So let's say that I believe that I somehow picked up COVID from one of these employees, or I stopped by the business and made a delivery. Would I have any grounds if, in fact, the government was transparent and gave me the name of these companies, which they're not doing? Would I have any grounds to sue these companies? Would that open up a can of worms for companies like this?
So the legislature actually just passed a bill in a special session a month ago, giving immunity for businesses, in these cases, just for COVID-19, so that if you want to sue your boss or you want to sue a company that you went into, part of the challenge here, right, is how do you know where you actually got infected with COVID-19? And in a very litigious environment, very fearful situation with COVID-19, you can see a lot of people getting, you know, crazy with lawsuits alleging, oh, I got COVID-19 at your business. So the legislature just said, no, we're just going to give immunity, shut down these lawsuits during this pandemic, and it's limited. It's only going to apply to COVID-19. But it'll be interesting to see what problems arise from that.
Yeah, fascinating, fascinating conversation. The legislature out ahead on that one. Straight ahead, a shocking number of parents say they're going to homeschool their kids this fall. I say shocking number because I don't think I'd be in that line. I don't think I have the bandwidth for it. At least they want to homeschool until there's a COVID-19 vaccine. So let's ask former Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Levitt. Yes, we've got another Levitt on the line. Straight ahead.
Dave and Dujanovic.